Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Wommen, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the Believer's Authority was recorded at our 2009 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
And then look at this. It says in verse 41, "But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, 'You've killed the people of the Lord.' And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked towards the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, 'Get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment.' And they fell upon their faces." Here again is the same thing that he said over in Exodus chapter 32. He says, "Moses, get out of my way. Let me have my wrath on these people," implying that if Moses didn't get out of the way, it would hinder God from releasing his full wrath. "And so they fell on their faces. And in verse 46, Moses said unto Aaron, 'Take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly into the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun.' And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700 besides them which died about the matter of Korah." So it would be like, you know, if all of a sudden the glory of the Lord appeared over here and I realized that, man, the plague has begun. And so I went and I took some coals from off the altar. This is an altar of incense, symbolized prayer. You took this prayer and you go and you stand. The plague starts and people just start falling over dead, and I come and stand in between the ones who had died over here and the ones who the plague hadn't come to. And when the plague comes to this intercession, it just stops and it spares the rest of the people. That's what happened. And people will use this today to say, this is the way it is between us and God. Boy, God is an angry God and we've sinned and the wrath of God is being poured out. And Hurricane Katrina was the wrath of God. And drought is the wrath of God. And all of these things are the wrath of God. I tell you what, if Hurricane Katrina was the wrath of God, it wouldn't have stopped at New Orleans. Atlanta deserves just as much judgment as New Orleans. When God goes to judging, you know what, in the book of Revelation, they're going to say, "Hide us, let the rocks fall on us." They're going to be wanting to commit suicide. There's going to be no question about whether this is God or not. That's not God's judgment. When you build a city below sea level and then you put a lake above it and use levees to hold a lake up there, plus you got the sea over here and the lake over here, it's just stupid. That's not God doing that. It's just stupid. It's foolish. It's like building your house on a cliff, and when it falls down the cliff, you get mad at God and say, "The wrath of God is falling." That's not the wrath of God. Well, somebody said, "Man, these are all scriptural examples. What about this?" Look at this verse over in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 5, I'm breaking right into the middle of what he's saying here, but it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." You know, Moses, Abraham, David, they were mediators. The word mediator means a person that stands in between two opposing parties to try and reconcile them. That's what a mediator is. And it says over in Galatians chapter 3, I believe it's verse 19, that the law was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. And then the next verse says, "A mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one." That's awkward the way it's phrased, but what this means is God is only one. So this isn't talking about a covenant made between God and Jesus. This is talking about the covenant made between God and man, and Moses was that mediator. Moses stood between an angry God an unholy man who deserved judgment and wrath and said, repent, turn from your fierce wrath. Oh God, have mercy. Abraham stood between an angry God and people who deserved to be judged and said, if there's 50, would you spare him? If there's 40, if there's 20. And he was interceding as a mediator. And it was appropriate because there has not been mediation between God and man. So it was appropriate for them to pray that way. But Jesus is now a mediator. And according to the scripture, Jesus drew all of the wrath of God upon himself. I'm not going to take time to turn over there, but in John chapter 12, verse 32, or 31, somewhere right there, it says, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. And people interpret this that if you just preach properly, everybody will come hear what you've got to say. That cannot be proven. You can't observe that. The biggest churches in the nation today are the ones that are compromising. They aren't the best churches. And so you can't observe this. That doesn't mean that if you just preach it right that everybody will come. This, the word men is italicized. And you know what that means? That translators added it to give clarity. And even though it's not wrong for them to do that, like sometimes they had to do it to make it grammatically correct. There was a difference between the Greek and the Hebrew. But sometimes they missed it, and at least they had enough integrity to put it in italics and let you know that this wasn't really there. It was their interpretation for clarity. So it says, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all unto me. What's the subject? The verse in front is now is the prince of this world. Let's see, how's it go? You got that? Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. It's talking about judgment. And then the next verse, not verse 32, but verse 33 says, this he said, signifying what death he should die. This wasn't talking about that he would just draw all men unto him. It was talking about that he would draw all of God's judgment unto him. And this was signifying that talking about the crucifixion. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, all of the wrath of God, all of it, everything that you have ever done, every homosexual, every liar, every thief, every murderer, every person who has ever done anything wrong from time past to time eternity, the entire human race, every bit of wrath of God was put upon his son. All of it, so much so that Jesus said on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was a quotation from Psalms chapter 22. It was prophesied, and the next verse in Psalms chapter 22 explains why he turned away. It says, but thou art holy, O God, that inhabits the praises of Israel. Jesus became unholy. According to 2 Corinthians 5:21, God hath made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Jesus didn't just bear a little token of sin. Jesus became vile. I know some of you, this is struggle for some people to get hold of, but all of the shame that you've ever felt, all of the, you know, at times we just feel like, God, how could I have done something? You feel so much shame. You feel so dirty. You feel so vile. Take that and multiply it times billions and billions and billions of people. All of the iniquity that Hitler did was put on Jesus. All of the iniquity that Saddam Hussein did was put on Jesus. Every homosexual act ever done on the face of the earth, Jesus bore that sin and that shame. He bore the hatred, the lust. Everything that has ever been done entered into Jesus. All judgment came unto him. And for God to do that and then still be mad at you would be like, in a sense, wasting the judgment that came upon Jesus. I'm telling you that God put so much judgment on Jesus that there isn't any wrath left in him for those who have accepted Jesus. He's not mad at you. And when you sit there and say, oh, God couldn't forgive me, you don't know what I've done. You know what you're doing? You're just slapping Jesus in the face. Like, oh, Jesus isn't enough. You don't understand what I've done. You don't understand what Jesus did. You're saying Jesus didn't pay it all. Jesus didn't pay enough. I'm so bad, I've got to also pay for myself. That's the height of arrogance. You think that you could offer God something that Jesus hadn't already done. Jesus has already paid. Jesus is the one mediator between God and man. He ended all mediation. And if you try and stand there like Moses and say, "Repent, oh God," you are against what Jesus has done. Jesus has already caused God to repent. He's borne all of God's wrath and judgment. God isn't mad at you. Sin has been paid for. And if you are standing there and saying, "Turn from your fierce wrath, oh God, don't pour out your wrath," I'm going to say this real strong, but it's true. It's antichrist. It's against Christ. It's against what He's done. When you're pleading and saying, "Oh, God doesn't want to save my relative, but if you would pray, God might answer your prayers," you're trying to put me in a position that Christ alone can occupy. He's the only mediator. I don't have to motivate God. I don't have to get God to love somebody. He loves people much more than I do. I don't need to plead with God to heal this person. I don't need to plead with God to save this person. Jesus has pled with God to end all pleading. There is no pleading. New Testament believer doesn't have to beg God. We aren't beggars anymore. We're different than Abraham and Moses and David and Elijah. It's different. Jesus has put us in a brand new category. The old is past, the new is come. And I have access into the very throne of God now by a new and living way. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. It's a new way. It's not the old way. I now have an authority and a boldness to enter right into the very presence of God. And yet very few Christians are doing that because they're still living under this old covenant mindset. In a sense, they are still looking for a mediator. They're trying to make me or some preacher their mediator. We turn our collars around backwards to show that we're better than everybody else. Wrong.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the Believer's Authority. The Believer's Authority is available for the very first time in book form and can be ordered through bookstores nationwide. Or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. Request book R327 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series RM234 or DVD series R3205 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The 5th CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the 5th teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
Our television and radio programs, our tapes, our books, our study guides, everything is designed to help share the Word with you. But you know, the very best way that I can get these truths into you in an in-depth way is through our Charis Bible Colleges. We have a campus right here in Colorado Springs with about 250 or so people. And then we have over 1,000 people that are in extension schools taking correspondence and things. There's many ways that you could take advantage of this, but I tell you, I just want you to be able to get saturated and immersed in this, and the best way I know to do that is through our Charis Bible College. So please call or write today.